Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 11 hour, 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday night, where we will explore the Word of God together. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and always it's a privilege and an honor to come before you with the Word of God. God is truly in the blessing business, and we are taught to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tonight, our lesson is coming from 1 Samuel. We're going to expound on the entire 8th chapter. And the title of our lesson is, People Always Try to Get God to Conform to Their Agenda. That's just the way it is. That's the way people go around treating God. Not trying to do what God asks us to do, but doing what we want and expect God to accept it. So that's our title and chapter for the day. So I'm asking, if you don't have your Bible, get your Bible, because what we're going to do is play a song. And once the song is over, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And I'm very happy that my grandson, Madison Chambers, is with me tonight because school is closed. So he'll be able to lead us in prayer. I'm going to go ahead and play the song now. And the title of the lesson is The Master Plan. I'm playing this song to let you know that God has a master plan for everything and everybody. And it's God's master plan, that it is His will. And we should line ourselves up with the will of God. And not trying to get God to do our will. So I'm going to play the song now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace, and Madison will lead us. While the record is going on, get your hearts and your minds and your ears ready to receive the word of God. plan, and his master plan is his word, which is his will, the Holy Bible. And he wants us to understand the plan of God for our lives and for us to conform to his plan, not try to get him to conform to our plan. And as we read this lesson and study this lesson tonight, we'll see a great example of how people want what they want, when they want it, why they want it. And at this time, I'm going to bring Madison, and he's going to lead us into the throne of grace. And after that, we're going to get straight in the program. So here I present to some, and others may know him, Madison Andrew Chambers, my grandson.
Good evening, everybody. Let's go into prayer. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to tune in, and please help me to remember to tune in, and if it's in your will, to allow everything to go smoothly so I can tune in and pray for the people and that they can have a prayer warrior, God. And please let the other people have all their supplies that they need to learn more about you, and that they actually want to learn about you, and that they're just not here on the prayer person, and that they actually want to do something when they die, so when they go to heaven, that they could be able to say that they've done the things that you asked for, God. And thank you for allowing these people to know that you're in their life, because not a lot of people know that God's in their life and their world just go upside down. Thank you, God, for being in everybody's lives that's tuning in right now, and mine and my grandmother's. And please pray for my grandmother, because she's sick right now. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. Glad to have you back. And Madison say, I'm sick. I just don't want y'all to think I have a sickness. I cut a tree down the other day, and it was full of pollen. And, of course, it gave me hay fever. So I have like a little sinus attack, but all is well. God is still in control. And he doesn't give us an assignment that he doesn't provide the provisions. Well, we're going to go into the lesson tonight. I'm going to read the title and the scripture again because some old people called in. But the title of the lesson is People Always Want God to Conform to Their Agenda. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, the entire eighth chapter. And as I began, I always give background. I want you to know that the author of the book of Samuel is anonymous. 1 Samuel, the book that we in tonight, because there's two books of Samuel, the 1st and the 2nd Samuel. But the 1st Samuel records the history of Israel in the land of Canaan. We all remember that Canaan was the land of milk and honey that God had promised Abraham that he would give to his heirs. But they are now in the land of Canaan, and the book of Samuel records the history. And the book of Samuel also talks about how they moved from the rule of judges to being a unified nation under a king. You see, after Moses and then Joshua, you know, there was no direct leader for the people, and the people was doing anything and being very disobedient to God. And when everything was going wrong in their lives, like sometime in our lives, then we take time to call on God. It's just so amazing when God is doing things over and over and over and through us in our lives. We go around as if we are in total control and doing what we need, or can provide what we need, or could give ourselves air or do anything for ourselves where God is not getting the glory. You see, so the people became oppressed, and they cried out to God, and God started giving them judges. And from our lesson week before last, we realized that there was 15 judges. When the judges was ruling Israel, the people was walking more closely to God. But soon as the judge died, they turned to their wicked ways, and they began worshiping idol gods and doing the things that other people was doing just because they could. They would turn their back on God, and when it got so bad, they would cry out again, and then he would raise them up another judge, and it was over and over, back and forth, and there were 15 judges. Well, when we get to the book of Samuel, we see, excuse, that they wanted a king. You see, the book of 1 Samuel starts with a miraculous birth of Samuel in answer to his mother's earnest prayer. You see, Samuel's mother, Hannah, was barren. There were a lot of ladies in the Bible that were barren. But she prayed to God for a son. And she told him if he would grant her a son, she would dedicate him to God for service, not for a while, but for his entire life. You see, Samuel's name means name of God. And she dedicated him unto God. And she made a vow. It was a Nazareth vow. And in that vow was that, you know, she would raise him and let him be a Nazarite. And that he wouldn't put a razor to his head. And they had other conditions, but she promised God that that's how she would do with him. And she did it before he was born. You see, we have to learn how to speak over the lives of our grandchildren and our daughters who may be of age that will have children, going to God in earnest prayer that if they would bring a child into the world, that that child could grow up in the fear of God. So she did this before Samuel was born. So God granted her the son. And after Samuel was weaned from his mother, remember they didn't have bottles and everything. Everybody was breastfed. But after he was weaned at the age of 4, he was brought to the temple to serve under Eli, the priest. How you like that? You see, even as a child, Samuel was given his own ephod. And that was a garment usually reserved for a priest as he ministered before the Lord. And I began to wonder, after she dedicated him, did she keep in contact? But the Bible says in the book of Samuel that she made him an ephod every year and brought it to him at the temple. You know, and because she kept her promise, you know, plenty of times people make promise to God, if you do this, I'll do that. And, you know, after you may get what you wanted or you just forget about it. She made a promise and she kept it. She turned her child over to the priest. But then God opened her womb, and he granted her other children. You see, at that time in the history of Israel, the sons of the priests would supersede their father's ministry. Eli was the priest at that time. However, Eli's two sons were wicked in that they were immoral and showed contempt for the Lord's offering. What you mean that, Sister Diane? You know that the priests in those days, all the way back through Moses, well, time, the way that they were taken care of, God wanted to know because of what they were doing for him, that he would supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory. And sacrifices was made, and it wasn't always an animal. And when someone came and let's just say they sacrificed a bull or whatever, so much went towards God and so much went to them, because we read when we was in the other books when they talked about the sacrificial system that God said, this is mine, but you take that for your household, for your sons and your daughters and your wives. See, God took care of his priests. But Eli's sons, they would take the best for themselves. They was doing all kind of crooked things. That's who Levi was the priest, and his sons would have took over his priesthood, but they were too wicked. But you see, God always have a ram in a bush. And as that song stated, he has a master plan. And nothing that you could do could turn it around. And God does not have to go in counsel with anybody else to perform his master plan. And if he said it, it's going to come to pass. God can use anything and anybody to accomplish his plan. So while Eli's sons were out of order, at the same time, Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with man. You see, God singled him out as a prophet. And the child's first prophecy was one of judgment on a corrupt priest. And you see, God called Samuel, just like God has called each and every one of us for something. For something, because everything he made has a purpose and is perfectly designed for the purpose. And where the purpose is, there's also provision. But you got to understand it, you got to grasp it, you got to hold on to it. You see, one night, Samuel heard a voice calling his name. At this time, Samuel was 11 years old. And even though the young Samuel heard a voice calling his name, Samuel was, he heard a voice calling his name. He didn't know the Lord. Now, isn't that something? For 11 years, he was in a temple serving God, doing what he needed to do, open the doors, like a little usher. Usher boy, you know, like in the Catholic religion, Samuel was doing all of that, but he didn't really know the Lord. What is that saying? Sometimes people could be doing the work of the church and not they could be doing the church work and not the work of the church. You see, the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. He initially assumed that it was coming from Eli, and he went to Eli, and he asked him, did he call him? Eli said, go back to sleep. He came back again. He came back three times. By that time, Eli realized that it must was God calling him, and he told him, go ahead and how to receive what God had to say to him. You see, this is when Samuel received the call on his life. It was all a part of God's master plan. Once Samuel responded, the Lord told him that the wickedness of the sons of Eli had resulted in the disaster of their rule. You see, when the morning came, Eli asked Samuel to honestly recount to him what he had been told by the Lord. Upon receiving a communication, Eli merely said that the Lord, after hearing what God had told Samuel was going to happen to Eli's sons, and Eli was reprimanded. Because you see, when Samuel tried to tell Eli, that's how you don't listen to what people say, what his sons was doing. Still, Eli putting them in check. He allowed them to do as they wanted to do, which displeased God even more. So when Samuel told him what they was going to do, one good thing about Eli, he said, the Lord should do what is right unto him. In other words, he accepted what God was going to do. We have so many people can't accept what God is doing in and through our lives. Some people who have a loved one that died, as they believe, prematurely before they wanted them to die. That's like not accepting the will of God. The Bible teaches us that everyone and all of our days are numbered. God don't make no mistakes. And God is a God of enoughness. You know, there's much we can learn from the life of Samuel. In particular, we can see the sovereignty of God towards Israel. You know, when you read the Bible, they messed up, God took them back. They messed up, God took them back. They messed up, God took them back. You know, God doesn't like disobedience, but he's sovereign towards his people, not just Israel, but you and me as well. And God knew no matter whom the people chose to reign over them, which he did not want them to have a king, because he said, I'm your king, I'm your Lord, and I'm your master. And when they wanted a king, it was as if they was rejecting God. But that's the same way we do in our lives. You see, we may allow other things, people or places, to occupy the thrones of our heart. And even when we do it, and if we examine ourselves, we know what it is. We know how we do it. We know when we do it. But through it all, God always remains sovereign. And he's always working it out together for your good. No matter how many times you fall, he's there to pick you up. No matter how many times you fail, he allows you to start over. He never allows your past to dictate your future. And if he's always waiting for you with loving arms when you turn your back on him to receive you back unto himself, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's a parable that Jesus used, and it was about the sheep. And he said, a wise man, if one sheep would leave straight from the flock, the wise man would leave the 99 to go get the one. Jesus used that to illustrate how the love of God is for us. And God will never turn his back on us completely. The title of the lesson is people always want God to conform to their agenda. And there's many ways that we do that in our lives. We want to do it any kind of way we want to do it. And we want to live the way we want to live. We want to make up the rules as we go. some things in general can often be said, you know, like going to church. I'm the one to stand before you first and foremost that you cannot be saved by going to church. But since God has saved you, you should want to fellowship. And I know every church is not the best church, and I know every preacher is not the best preacher. But look, you can't use that, because look how many churches God has. We have to remember that Jesus Christ established the church. And he didn't do it without a reason. So when we decide, oh, we're not going to go because, you know, they're not saying what I want to hear, or they're not right and all they want is money, you can say whatever you want. I'm just telling you that God established the church. And that's an example of people always wanting God to conform to their agenda. So we say we love the Lord, we don't go to church, but we want God to accept that for whatever thing we're making up in our mind. We're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. You know, I'm not going to give my money to the church because they spend it wrong. Well, you see, the church is for the kingdom. We say we're not in this world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. So you have to at some point have asked yourself, what world are we in? What world are we in? We in the kingdom of God. And just like everything and every organization need money to operate, then so does the church. I'm not telling you what to give. I'm not telling you when to give. I'm not telling you that. But if you look at God's master plan and the will that God has already ordained and has gotten it written in the Bible, then you have to pay some kind of attention. Because even if you done heard it or you seen it and you know it, and you decide to do what you want for over and over and over, then what you're saying is, I'm going to do it my way. And God, I suggest you conform to my agenda. I see so many people, they do it the way they want. They're not reading the word of God. They're not meditating on the word of God. And you know, they're doing it their own way. And as soon as something happens, they want to go to God in prayer. And yes, they expect him to answer their prayer, because now they have a need the way they want him to answer it. God is not going to conform to our agenda, no matter how hard you try. God has a master plan, and it's going to prevail with you or without you. And after saying that, we could go in the scriptures now, and I'm in the 8th chapter, and this is very explanatory. You know, some people think that reading the Bible is hard. And many times I'm often told, Sister Diane, I don't understand it, and what should I do? And I get them all hyped up like I'm fixing to say something so profound. And I pause and I do like Jesus do. I look down, I just don't write in the sand. And I tell them this, just keep reading it. So when we read these scriptures, they're going to be very explanatory. So it's not going to take that much teaching. But I'm going to read from the 8th verse, and I'm going to go all the way to the 20th. Now I'm going to read the 8th verse, the first verse, and I'm going to go to the 7th verse. And the scripture read as follows. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his two sons judges. Now, y'all know Samuel, and this lets you know that Samuel evidently had a wife, because we see here he had two sons. And Samuel was old, he made his son judges. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Bathsheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. His sons wasn't like their dad. But they turned aside after lucrative dealings and bribes and perverted judgment. In other words, they're doing just like they're doing now. When we read this, we see that there's nothing new under the sun. What people did then, they're doing it now. Sin doesn't stop. It only escalates. Sin take on a new walk and a new talk for the new generations. Come on, y'all. It ain't nothing new. So Samuel's son was leaning to their own understanding. They was doing it the way they wanted to do. And what happened? Then all the elders, number four, of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Rehob and said unto him, Behold, thou art old. Now, remember, Samuel's the last judge, and Samuel was the one giving instructions, and Samuel was the one they went to, the people went to Samuel to receive wisdom from God. Samuel was the last judge, and these people see that he's getting old. Excuse. They see that he's getting old. Excuse. And his sons is not even equipped to be able to take over. Come on, y'all. So they go to Samuel, and then we see in verse 8, the elders gathered together and came to Samuel. And 5, the fifth verse said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. And for all of those who wondered how Israel started having kings, here's the answer. And they said, Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Y'all have to know that the Israelites was God's chosen nation, but they was all kind of nations. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Philistines, the Moabs, all of those were nations. And they wanted to be like other nations, so they say, make us a king. Now the sixth verse said, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said it. They told that to Samuel. Samuel know that God is the king, and he said, Now, look how they want to go now. Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And verse 7 said, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Excuse. Now, this is the same God that had done everything they needed. Come on, y'all. Oh, when we get up to this book of the Bible, we read now, we see all the provisions that God has been making for his people. And yet, this is what they could come up with. You see, in Jewish history, before Israel was ruled by kings, they were guided by the wisdom of judges. I say that early. And these judges were holy but imperfect men of God who were appointed to deliver the people from their oppression and to counsel them on how to live in a manner pleasing and acceptable to their God. You see, the last two judges of Israel was Eli and Samuel. And this is interestingly before us, both of them had the same problem. Wayward children. Samuel's sons, just like Eli's sons, were bad acts. Samuel, God made arrangements to take care of their needs, as I said. If somebody brought corn in to be sacrificed, they got their portion of the corn. They was going to eat. Their provisions were being met by God through the people. Yet it seemed like it was never enough. You see, Samuel initially appointed his sons as his successors. However, like Eli's sons, Samuel's sons proved to be unworthy as well. And y'all could go back and read the book of Eli. I mean, not the book of Eli, but the story of Eli. His sons was doing what they wanted to do. God sent the man of God to tell him about what they saw his sons was doing. He allowed them to continue in their wicked ways. And then his two sons was killed. And when the man came back to tell Eli that his sons was killed, they say Eli was a man of big weight. He was a big, big, big man, you know, stout. Eli was sitting on a stool by the gate, and they came to tell him that his sons had been killed. Eli fell off the stool, and he broke his neck. If you read the further up chapters in Samuel, you'll see it. So now Eli's gone. His son's gone. Samuel became the judge. Samuel now, because this scripture started with saying Samuel was old, and the people didn't feel that his sons was worthy. They asked for a king. How you like that? Samuel interpreted this as a personal rejection. And at first, he was reluctant to oblige until God gave him a divine revelation. He warned the people of the potential negative consequences of such actions and decisions. Samuel took their word as a personal attack on him. But God let him know that they weren't rejecting him, but they were rejecting God. And if we start reading, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse, and I'm going to go to the 20th. According to all the works which they had done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt until this day, God began to remind them, just as he reminds us some of the wonderful things he has done in our lives. And yet we compromise our faith. Wherewith they have hearkened me and served other gods. God say, I've been with them all the time, and I brought them out of Egypt, and they worship out of God, and they forsake me. That's what he's saying. So do they also unto thee. And verse 9 says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of a king that shall reign over them. Now this way it get deep. Those verses up there let us know that they asked for the king. God had to remind them all that he did. I guess he was giving them a chance to change their mind. But you see, their mind was already made up. Their heart was already fixed what they wanted. Yes, God had a master plan. Yes, God had a will. Yes, God told them he was the king. And now he reminds them of what he had been doing for them. And what God did for them, they have the evidence that he stands alone. Because not now one of those men could drop mammon from the sky. Hallelujah. Not one of those men, come on, y'all, could defeat Pharaoh. So God remind him now. And in the 10th verse, and Samuel told all the word of God unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, watch this. This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. That's why it's good to read the Bible to see how God work it out. And God don't leave you in the dark. And he said, okay, you want a king. He said, I'm going to tell you what this king going to do. Come on, y'all. Not new under the sun. So when you look at that, I was reading in the 11th verse, the second part of it says, he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. He's going to sit on the chariot and let them go on the front line, like look like plenty of our leaders today is already always ready to go to war with your children. But God is letting them know what's going to happen. When we get to verse 12, look at it, y'all. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and set them to do whatever he wanted them to do, and to reap his harvest. That means ear to his ground, work his fields, do everything to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments for war and instruments for his chariot. They're going to be laborers. They're going to work hard for him. Now, this is God telling them what the king is going to do. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. 14, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and he's going to take it and give it to his servants. This is not dying, y'all. It's the scripture. 15 says, and he will take the tenth of your seeds and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Isn't that oppression? That's a little light slavery, huh? 16. He will take your manservants and your maidservants and your goodies, young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. 17. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. 18, and ye shall cry out in the day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. You know, you're going to cry for what this king going to do, but you chose him. And the Lord will not hear in that day. Now, this is so interesting. God is giving them the information. And then 19 says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. After all of that, God told them. And 20 says that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go before us and fight in our battles. after hearing all of that, you would think in 2016 that the people living now could get a glimpse of a ruler that wouldn't mean them no good. When you read this, you would say, well, then how could they still want to go forth with it? You know, and we are sort of in the same situation. We don't have a king, but we have a president that has his best interests at heart. And many of the things that, you know, normally or morally they say wouldn't be right was exposed, just like God is exposing to the children of Israel about the leader. And at the bottom of the verse, they said, yeah, we hear you, but we want a king. What I'm saying is there's nothing new under the sun. And people always expect God to conform to their agenda. And just like the Israelites chose their king, and God told them on the bottom that you're going to cry out, but I will not hear you in that day because this is your choice. And we have to always live with our choices. You know, it is often said that a hint to the wise should be sufficient. But I came to tell you tonight, it's not always. And common sense is not as common as you think. Here we see that God gave them a full picture of what not could happen because of their choices. He gave them a picture of what happened, not could happen, because of their choices. We know that there are always consequences to our actions, good or bad. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection took away the sins of all those who would accept, believe, and confess that he is Lord. But he lets us know that the consequences of our sins belong to us. You see, God wanted them to know that he was their king with all power in his hand. He reminded them all the mighty works that he had did when he brought them out of slavery, as I said, some of them early. You know, they was in slavery in Egypt, and he parted the Red Sea, and he gave protection to their firstborn when the door was covered by the blood. He made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was still making sure it would come to pass. And yet it wasn't enough. No matter what God does in and through our lives, it seemed like it's never enough. You know, God told them when they leave out of Egypt to ask the people for things, because God didn't want them to go out empty-handed, because that's the kind of God he is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And they gave him all kind of gold and silver and all of these things. And soon as the road got a little rocky, and Moses had went up to be with God, and all of the people decided to do what they wanted to do, God was right there with them. He had parted the Red Sea. He had put the plagues in Egypt. The firstborn was killed. And yet, they took the stuff that God had made provisions for them to have, and they decided to make them another god. You see, in the wilderness, they made another god. And now, in the promised land, they want a king. It's never enough. You see, people want God to conform to their agenda. And the last two verses, 20 and 21, said, "And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in his ears of the Lord, in the ears of the Lord. He told God what they had said." And 22 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to every man of Israel, "Go every man into his city, saying, it is done." You see, after receiving the bad news about their decision of wanting a king, they still wanted a king. So God said, let them have it. That is why it is said you have to be careful for what you ask for. A lot of people in today who made a decision to vote a certain way in the election, you know, many of them are sorry about the decision they made. You got to be careful for what you ask for. You see, the main theme throughout Samuel's life is that God alone should receive the glory and honor. What we should be trying to do is get with God's program and don't try to make a program up ourselves and expect God to be a part of it. After making his sons judges, and I didn't talk about Samuel's sons, but Samuel's sons were corrupt. You know, they were even, Eli's sons was even having sex at the entrance of the temple. You know, it just gets down low and dirty. Read it so you could see. And with that being said, it's nothing new under the sun. God said there's nothing that can happen to you or happen, period, that is not common unto man. But Samuel had made his son judges, and it must have been the saddest thing for Samuel to learn that they were unfit to lead. When he consulted God about the people's request for a king, nothing was said in the defense of his son. They couldn't even make a case for him. You see, so Samuel took it and was obedient to God's instruction. And he decided to do what God wanted him to do, to give the people what they wanted, a king. And as you read, the king that was given was Saul. And then you could read for yourself. You'll learn that Saul was a hot mess. There was a lot of oppression on the people. And he was very selfish, and he was only concerned about me, myself, and I. So they eventually cried back to God. And God was still taking care of them. So you have to see God's love towards mankind with all of the shorts and failures time and time again. But you could understand his pure, unadulterated love for us. Because we go all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Give us the good news of Jesus Christ. God is in love with his people, and it's his desire that we begin to love on him. I'm not coming with a message that you'll be perfect or sinless, but because of what God is always and constantly doing in our lives, we should try our best to sin a little less. We should be striving to be better tomorrow than we was today. We should do the very best we can. And I, when I teach, I never say you or y'all. I say we and I. Because we all fall short. But after all God had done for them, they wanted a king. Saul became the first king. And then God chose him a king, and his name was David. That's our lesson for tonight. I pray that you receive something, that you could realize that there's nothing new under the sun. People gonna be people. And we, sometime our action appear as if we believe that God didn't do enough and that he doesn't deserve all of the praise, honor, and glory for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's promised to do in our lives. Begin trying to treat God like God treats you. Stop trying to get God to conform to your agenda. Because no matter what, he's sovereign and he cares for you. No matter what state you're in, he have you. He's working it out together for your good. You have to trust him and believe him, and he will see you through. That's our program for tonight. As always, if anyone would like to make a comment, I just talk about how good God is. You could do so at this time. If you want to ask for prayer, or if you want to give a word of encouragement, you could do so at this time. If anyone would like to lead us out in prayer, do a benediction. You could press the one button and do it at this time. Well, that's our program for tonight. Next week, of course, we'll be in 2 Samuel. And I'll see the chapter, the verses that God leads me to expound on. But you could get a jump and start reading it. And some of the things that came up tonight, all of it is covered in 1 Samuel. So with that being said, I'm going to just go out with a closing prayer. We're going to end our program for tonight. And if God says the same, I'll be back with you on next week. Same time. Same station. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God that is the king of our lives, no matter who rules over us in the White House or any house, God is our king, and he's working it out together for our good. It is not God's desire that we suffer. It's not his desire that we have sickness come on us. All of that came in the world through sin. But God says he's a healer, a heart fixer, and a mind regulator. Lord, teach us how to hold on to your unchanging hand as you guide and lead us into all righteousness and truth. Lord, we need you in these times like this, and we can't make it without you. Lord, I pray for every caller. I pray for any and everybody that listen on the airwaves on the Block Talk Station. Lord, be with us, protect us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's our program for tonight. And if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button. If not, we're going to close for tonight, and we'll meet again. And it is my desire that all of us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Have a great night, and be blessed.